IE America Radio Network Newsbreak, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Edwards and Wesley Clark hope to prevent frontrunner John Curry from sweeping the seven states with delegate elections Tuesday, while Howard Dean looked ahead to another day to rejuvenate his faltering campaign for president. The states with primaries are caucuses: Arizona, Delaware, Missouri, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and South Carolina likely will narrow the field or at least shake up the strategies of those who fail to win delegates. George W. Bush's $2.4 trillion budget is taking broadsides from Republicans for spending too much, from Democrats for embracing the wrong priorities, and from anti-deficit groups for masking red ink. Former General Wesley Clark said Bush's goals were tax cuts for the rich and tough luck for everyone else. Joe Lieberman called it fiscal insanity, and John Kerry called the plan the same failed Republican prescription that has caused Bush to lose 2.5 million jobs in the past 3 years. Bush's spending plan strains the credibility of the administration's claim of cutting the deficit in half, said a statement by the bipartisan Concord Coalition, which advocates careful spending. And the budget is long on promises, short on reality, and incapable of taking our nation's fiscal health off life support, said Steve Ellis, a vice president of Taxpayers for Common Sense. Three Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday after a suspicious white powder, apparently delivered through the mail system, was found in the Senate Majority Leader's office. Officials said several preliminary tests, but not all of them, were positive for ricin, a deadly poison. More definitive test results were expected later Tuesday. Dirksen and the other two main Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday as authorities were to remove and test all mail that has been delivered there. Senate officials were hoping that the process would take only a day, said one congressional official speaking on condition of anonymity. The closures were forcing the cancellation of committee meetings scheduled for those buildings, but the Capitol was to remain open with the Senate convening Tuesday morning as scheduled. There were no reports of anyone becoming sick from exposure as of Tuesday morning, the congressional official said. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Syracuse isn't just talking about winning honors as upstate New York's snowiest big city. It might break its all-time record. Syracuse had 137.8 inches of snow as of February 1st, more than 3 feet more than any big city in New York, the National Weather Service says. That puts Syracuse in the lead to win the Golden Snowball Race for upstate New York's snowiest big city. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network Newsbreak, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Preachers talk often about the Sunday saints in their congregations, those who sit conspicuously in the front pews on Sunday mornings, but spend the six other days of the week wantonly violating assorted religious commandments and ignoring the ethical teachings of the church. I thought of Sunday saints when I saw that George W. Bush made a conspicuous 15-minute stop to lay a wreath at the tomb of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. in Atlanta on the birthday of the great civil rights leader. It was a staged effort by Bush's political advisors to suggest to black voters and other civil rights advocates that George is a devotee of Dr. King's teachings and of his historic fight for justice. This pious posturing lost its glow the very next day, however. Only hours after laying the wreath, Bush used a sneaky maneuver to appoint a Mississippi judge, Charles Pickering, to the Federal Appeals Court. a judge twice rejected by the Senate Judiciary Committee for having a history of being insensitive on racial issues, and that's putting it mildly. Indeed, NAACP leader Julian Bond bluntly calls Pickering a segregationist judge. The disparity between George's posturing and his policies was not lost on the people of Atlanta. Bush actually had flown there for a fundraiser, where he pocketed more than $1 million from the well-heeled, not exactly Dr. King's constituency. But hundreds of King's followers were there when Bush made his 15-minute stop at the gravesite, greeting him with a cascade of boos and protest chants. But George didn't have to see these non-rich citizens, for his handlers lined a row of buses between them and him, putting police in riot gear atop all the buses to keep the people in their place. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that's a picture of establishment force exerted against common folks that Dr. King would have recognized, and he would have rebelled against it as well.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937, or you can email during the program, MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. And no, I'm not drunk. I'm not on OxyContin. Again, it's it's the mouth thing happening tonight, so bear with me, okay? We're going to get to the results of the primaries around the country. Some interesting things are happening here, I think. Also tonight, when we get to the sound bites that we have for you, the White House press corps is really starting to ask some actual probing questions at these briefings with Scotty McClellan. We want you to hear some of this a little bit later in the program, and we will have these primary election results throughout the evening as we go along here. Before we get to that, though, I just have to share this with you, okay? According to people who know and reported by Reuters and MSNBC, Janet Jackson is the one who masterminded the Super Bowl halftime stunt that left her right breast exposed and has prompted a federal probe into television indecency. That's according to the head of MTV. MTV's chief executive, Tom Freston, said in an interview, Janet Jackson engineered it. Now, it's his company, Freston's company, MTV, that produced the halftime show for CBS. He said that the co-conspirator, Justin Timberlake, was informed of the stunt just moments before Timberlake took the stage with Jackson. FCC regulators have launched an investigation.
amid calls for the government to take a tougher stance on regulating this indecency on television.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Freston of MTV said there's now going to be an FCC investigation into the nipple. Well, what a farce. I mean, what, how asinine is this, right? I mean, this is beyond asinine. It's beyond ludicrous. But I have to mention it because it just so thoroughly, thoroughly angers me. There's a dark side to this, too.
Well, that isn't the dark side, Mike.
No, here's the dark side. Sources familiar with the situation said the nipple-bearing incident could possibly cost CBS and the NFL millions of dollars. Additionally, sources told Reuters that Time Warner, their AOL unit, America Online, may now seek a refund of the estimated $10 million it paid as a major Super Bowl advertiser and exclusive halftime show sponsor. AOL said in a statement, quote, while AOL was a sponsor of the Super Bowl halftime show, we did not produce it. Like the NFL, we were surprised and disappointed with certain elements of the show. What would that be? Would that be the nipple? Well, never mind. Or would it be, was it Kid Rock that came out with American flag draped over him? AOL said the exposure of Jackson's breast means, now get this, here it comes, the exposure of Jackson's breast on television means it, AOL, cannot now broadcast the halftime extravaganza on its website for its 25 million AOL members and visitors. What? AOL? An internet service provider that is a gateway to Mount Everest? Several Mount Everests of porn? And Janet, oh God, this is so funny. McDonald's Corporation, which uses young Master Timberlake as a pitchman, said it found the incident was inappropriate, but that it will stand by their singer. And an NFL spokesman said it is unlikely that MTV will ever again be asked to produce a halftime show. Oh, my God. Michael Powell, the weaselly son of Colin Powell, lying and deception and this sort of thing runs in the family, just like every Republican family. You show me a Republican family, I will show you a family where the husband cheats on the wife has had two or three abortions, and the children are a mess. How Michael Powell, whose daddy is you-know-who, Michael Powell vows to investigate the halftime show. He was on Today program with Matt Lauer talking about indecency. And we talked about this last night, of course. Why doesn't Michael Powell get invited, maybe he does and doesn't show up, to go on NBC's Today show with Matt Lauer and talk about the indecency of Viacom, the indecency of Clear Channel, the indecency of consolidation, the indecency of the continuing narrowing of political discourse on the airwaves in this country, the indecency of the fact that the airwaves are no longer owned by the public. No, that will never happen because this is Michael Powell's America. This is George Bush's America. And what causes these people to wet their pants is Janet Jackson's breast. Okay, that's enough. Joe Lieberman is out. A couple of news sources are reporting senior members of his campaign committee are saying that's it, we're tossing it. Well, sure. What Lieberman should have done is run as a Republican and try to unseat Bush. He would have had a much better... No, I'm serious. I'm not being a smartass. This is not the year when Democrats are looking for Republican light. We are not, at least on the surface. Now, you can say that Kerry is Republican light, and you'd be right. You can say that Edwards is Republican light, and you'd be right. You can say that Wesley Clark is Republican light, and you'd be right. You can say that Howard Dean is Republican light, and you'd be right. But those four keep it more off the table. Lieberman
displays his Republican light every time he gets a chance. Now he's out. He's gone. By the way, where is Howard Dean? What has happened to Howard Dean? New York Times had a lengthy piece, was it yesterday, on the mismanagement of the Dean campaign. I've been through this before. I remember Gene McCarthy. I remember Barry Goldwater. I remember George McGovern. I remember Gary Hart and Ted Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy, who was assassinated, and Hart, who was caught with his thingy in his zipper. But I've seen this before, and I'm sorry. To the Howard Dean fans, is it over? I mean, the supporters of Howard Dean, I'm just asking you the question. Is it over? What's going to happen now to Howard Dean? I can remember getting clean for Gene. I can remember busting my ass on the Peanut Brigade to try to get Jimmy Carter elected. I can remember all of this. When the moral imperative was on the side of us McGovernites. It was on the side of us Peanut Brigade Carterites. It was on the side of the McCarthy campaign. And to the right-wingers back in 1964, it was on the side of Barry Goldwater. Is that what has happened to the Dean campaign now? Is it gone? Is it gone? John Kerry, who is a corporate-approved Democratic candidate, and I frankly don't care. If Kerry's your candidate, I'm sorry. You are mature enough to understand this. Kerry is a corporate-approved candidate. He's a DLC candidate. He is not a liberal. He's made some good moves over the course of his political and military career, but he is not a liberal. And if he's not a liberal, he's not a Democrat. I'm sorry, he's not. Okay? Now, Mike, you said you weren't going to attack any of the other dead because you support Kucinich. I'm not attacking him. I'm telling you something you already know. We've said over and over and over again to the Deaniacs, God bless him. God bless Howard Dean for kicking ass and taking names. Kerry wouldn't do it. Gephardt wouldn't do it. Edwards wouldn't do it. These are what Bart Kopp has called the pink tutu Democrats. Lieberman wouldn't do it. Howard Dean came out and kicked some asses. And now he's gone. He is. Trust me. Howard Dean is gone. John Kerry is not a Democrat, because he's not a liberal. Howard Dean is not a Democrat, because he's not a liberal. There is one Democrat in this race, and his name is Dennis Kucinich. Sorry, but you're an adult, you're mature, you can handle the truth. Kerry will win Delaware and Missouri. Edwards has won South Carolina, according to CNN. Edwards had said he needed to win in South Carolina, critical to his candidacy. Well, how could you have lost? Oh, well. In Oklahoma, Kerry, Edwards, and Wesley Clark are in a three-way battle. When informed of his win in Missouri by CNN, Kerry said, "That's fabulous." Kerry was also placing second in South Carolina, according to exit polls. Interestingly, Edwards and Kerry virtually split the black vote. It did not go to Al Sharpton. That's interesting, not to me, because I learned a long time ago to try to cast African Americans as this huge block of voters who are going to vote for the black candidate is a joke. It's what pundits do. It's what political commentators do. But you ask an American of African descent how he or she likes being always lumped in with the black vote. And they will tell you, or at least I've been told by the people I have mentioned that to, black folk that I've mentioned that to, they laugh. Yeah, well, Malloy, what about the white vote? Yeah, well, I hear you loud and clear. Lieberman and Kucinich came out last and really last. In South Carolina, Howard Dean came in, what, fifth or something, fourth? I don't know. I have no idea. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Right for you. I hope you're ready for me.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
I have behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets. And I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful. But now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I grabbed their breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Molloy.
Twenty-four past the hour. All right, truth seekers, what do you say? I've got some questions here. You know, where's Howard Dean? If Edwards gets the nomination, I will vote for him as many times as I can. I'm sorry, Kerry. If Kerry gets the nomination, well, Edwards too. I will vote for him as many times as I can. Because I hate George Bush the same way I hate, the cancer that killed my brother. How's that? Because I see Bush as a cancer that's going to kill the whole damn planet. I really loathe the man. No, I'll save it for later. Now, what is interesting here According to a USA Today CNN Gallup poll, Kerry would defeat Bush if the election were held today. Of course, that really doesn't say a lot because Bush and the evil monsters who operate in the shadows around and behind George Bush, those demons, they have not unleashed their campaign yet. And when they do, hell will be a poppin'. But for the time being, if the election were held today, John Kerry would beat Bush. In fact, so would John Edwards. Well, it's a statistical tie with Edwards, 49% for Edwards, 48% for Bush. With Kerry, it's 53% for Kerry, 46% for Bush, which is that lead is outside the poll's margin of error. Bush would beat Howard Dean by 7 points and would beat Wesley Clark by 3. So this is the newest, nobody likes polls. They suck, but we talk about them anyway. Support for the, going to war with Iraq, according to this poll, has dipped below 50% for the first time to 49%. Bush's job approval rating dipped below 50% for the first time in his presidency to 49%, and his disapproval rating rose to a record 48%. The guy's toast. He really is. He's going to have his ass handed to him in November. I really now believe, which is important to me because we can't afford to move to Canada. We can't afford to move to the UK. Kathy and I can't. You know, we're going to be unemployed and we got a baby coming. So, this is good news to me. I'll be able to stay in my own country. How about you? Bush's approval ratings for handling the economy, Iraq, and health care fell to record lows. What else? And 43% of Americans, this is astonishing, 43% of Americans said the Bush administration deliberately misled the public about whether Iraq had outlawed weapons of mass destruction. Now, I'm glad to see that number. Still, 49% believe those are the jackasses and the dimwits in the society still believe that Saddam was involved in the attack on this country on 9/11. But at least the number is coming up. 54% say they do not believe Bush deliberately misled the country. 43% said yes, he did. So, you know, you pick your side there. However, the poll also showed that Bush has advantages over his rivals in several areas. And this is part that's astonishing. Bush was seen as a stronger leader than Kerry. 53% to 39%. And I guess that's because, you know, perception is reality. The only time most people see Bush are in the little sound moments on CNN and ABC and CBS where he, you know, his herky-jerky movements and his inarticulateness and his gross stupidity are kept from the American public. So when you see Bush, if you only see that, you think if you're a typical willfully ignorant American who believes in creation science and not evolution, you'll see the little bastard on television and you think, he's a strong leader. Yeah, he sure is. Now, that's despite Kerry's military service in Vietnam and Bush being a cowardly AWOL deserter. 53% to 39% figure Bush is a stronger leader. And also 49% to 34% people say that Bush is more of a patriot than Kerry. Huh? How about that? Stand up.
Didn't think you could still get Union Made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Prozac might be a great drug for some people, but it could be a real downer for some fish. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Prozac has helped a lot of people overcome problems with depression, but it might cause problems when it ends up in open waters and affects the lives of fish and other aquatic organisms. Brian Brooks is an aquatic toxicologist at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. He says the active ingredient in Prozac is called fluoxetine, and last summer he found traces of it in bluegills, catfish, and crappie in a creek near Denton, Texas. Brooks says the human body does not metabolize all the fluoxetine in Prozac. That means some of the compound is excreted in human waste, and it ends up in wastewater at sewage treatment plants. Those plants are not designed to remove fluoxetine. For that matter, they're not designed to deal with a lot of personal care products like medicine, fragrances, and deodorants. Brooks says traces of these compounds are ultimately discharged into open waters in wastewater that has otherwise been treated thoroughly.
There are a number of pharmaceutical and personal care products which are being introduced into aquatic environments over long periods of time at low levels. And we have limited understanding for most, if not all, of the compounds about their occurrence, the magnitude, frequency, duration at which they're introduced into aquatic ecosystems. And then we have very limited information on the potential responses of aquatic organisms to these drugs and personal care products.
Brooks says the environmental impact of these compounds is getting more attention in the scientific community. He says they could change the reproductive behaviors of fish and disrupt their ability to find food or flee from predators. Over the long run, that could have serious consequences in some places for the ability of fish to survive. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on,
there.
This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Mark emailed in regarding Howard Dean. He says, Dean is not done, Mike. This is a deliberate and tactical loss. Dean is regrouping for the big primaries later in the month and Super Tuesday. This is not a shocking or new development tonight. It's chess, Mike. The Dean campaign sacrificed a couple of pawns to set the board up later. Remember, only a little over 15% of the delegates have been selected after tonight. That's from Mark White. Okay. I certainly don't dispute a political campaign's tactics. I do know, as reported by the New York Times, the Dean campaign is practically broke. The person who engineered his wild success via the internet, Joe Trippi, is gone. But Mark, if this is just a tactical regrouping, okay. I said Dean was my second choice, so I hope you're right. From Catherine, I agree, Mike, that Kerry is a Republican. I am not happy with this. I'm in Washington and still lean toward Kucinich, who is due here tomorrow night to speak. He is the only real Democrat, at least the Democrats my mother told me about. I'm attending the caucus on Saturday here to make my choice clear. Kat in Seattle. Yeah. Well, Kat, people like you and me, just like Deaniacs and the supporters of Kerry, and the rest of them are not going to say, never going to say die until it becomes apparent that the candidate one is supporting is nothing more than, you know, starting to get stiff and cold, like Gephardt, like Al Sharpton, like Lieberman, as people drop out. I think it's very clear that Dennis Kucinich is not going to get the nomination. I committed to him at the beginning of this campaign, and that's where I'm going to stay. And I also said that I will vote for the Democratic candidate, whether I consider that person to be a Democrat or not. And that really, really infuriates people who are Democrat Party purists, like I claim to be. But my contempt and disgust and shock and horror at this Bush crime family is so enormous. I am so willing to cut a deal with the devil to get rid of these bastards. And if the devil I have to cut a deal with is John Kerry or Wesley Clark or John Edwards, the deal is cut. Or Howard Dean. Trust me, the deal is cut. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Jan is calling from Bayonne, New Jersey. Hey, Jan, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing fine. How are you?
All right, not too bad. The reason that I called was, first of all, this is the first time I'm listening to your show, and I want to say I'm enjoying it very, very much.
Oh, well, thank you.
I agree with everything that you said so far.
Uh-oh. How did you hear about this program? We've been on this network for 3 years. how did you hear about it?
Searching on the web.
On the web. Okay, well, good.
Searching on the web. Basically, I've been searching on the web a lot the last few weeks because...
Yeah.
I started a PAC with a few other people, and we called it Patriots for Gore.
Patriots for Gore?
Yes.
Hmm.
What this PAC is doing, what we're doing right now is going into write-in states during the primary states that have write-ins.
Right.
And we're just bringing the option to the people that they have the option to write in Al Gore's name on the ballot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we feel that with the current field in play, if there could possibly be a broker convention in July... we feel that Al Gore might be a consensus candidate on the second ballot if no one is picked on the first ballot.
Well, why do you think Al Gore has really left, kept hands off and except for endorsing Dean?
I think Al Gore was very taken by Dean's grassroots hold that he had on people where he was able to raise so much money. It was mm-hmm. really a grassroots campaign.
Right.
The Internet, I mean, it was, I have to admit, it was tremendous.
Oh, there's no question, because one thing Howard Dean is not a corporate Democrat. He
right.
he is a Democrat put there by the people who supported him. But again, in the way I define the term Democrat, as in capital D, Democrat, mm-hmm. He is not Democrat. He is what he is. He might be an independent. He might be
right.
he might be just Howard Dean, but he's
yeah.
not a Democrat. But the bigger part of my question there, Jan, mm-hmm. why did Al Gore decide to stay out?
I can't answer for him, but I think in my own way, I think that there were people in the Democratic Party who kind of pushed him out.
Hmm.
He's not exactly a player anymore,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think he really ever was.
Do you think, let's just pretend, this is stupid, but let's do it anyway. Do you think he would have galvanized people like you and me? I mean, he won in 2000, but the rage and anger that most Democrats feel, most Americans feel
mm-hmm.
right now, do you think that Al Gore would have been a good candidate around which we all could have rallied?
Yes, I do.
Hmm.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I've been following his career for so many years. And as far as on the environmental front and other areas, foreign policy,
mm-hmm.
And especially with everything that's gone on in the world right now, I believe he could really kind of mend the breach
mm-hmm.
and bring Americans together as a whole. I don't see him as a partisan.
Well, it's silly talk on our part, though, because it's not going to happen.
No,
we
realize going into this
right.
that it may not happen,
right.
but we are just so outraged by what's going on in the Bush administration. We feel that Al Gore is the man, mm-hmm. really, that could beat him.
Well, if it's not a brokered convention, if
mm-hmm.
John Kerry or John Edwards
right.
or somebody goes into this convention with the votes necessary,
yeah.
you will still vote Democratic?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I will.
Right, okay.
I will vote for Charles Manson if he's on the ticket.
For dumb. Oh, my
because
God. He's not responsible for as many dead people as Bush.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Yeah.
Because what you were speaking about, as far as Bush is concerned, I will say right here, he is a war criminal.
Oh, God, yes.
He is a liar. He is a thief. His whole family is a bunch of crooks. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand him. He has ruined this country. He has taken away our democracy. And that is something I would never forgive him for. And I will vote for any Democrat that gets the nomination.
I hear that. Yeah.
But up until the convention, in my heart, I feel I have to work for the man that I believe in, even though he's not running.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
you know, and this is purely grassroots. It's a few of us working with our own resources, going into the state, sending out postcards, making phone calls.
Right.
Really grassroots, because we really do believe in Al Gore and his vision. And the speeches that he has been giving over the last few months on civil liberties, the environment, have been spectacular. And people are even saying, if he'd spoken like that in 2000, it would have been a lot.
I think so. I think you're right. Well, keep
but I think he was, but people just maybe were so wrapped up in the media garbage, they weren't listening
right.
to what he was saying.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, listen, keep us posted, okay?
Yes, I will.
All right, and thanks, Jan. Thanks for checking in.
Thank you so much for giving me a chance to talk about this.
Absolutely.
Thank you, sir.
All right, take care. Take care. Marianne is calling. She's our bureau chief in Aurora, Illinois. Hey, Marianne.
Hey, Mike. Well, I have to say for Howard Dean, I don't think he's out. And the media is trying to blot him out.
Well, now, wait. Let's take a look at the... granted, the media is trying to destroy him. But let's take a look at the reality of his campaign. He is practically broke. According to New York Times yesterday, he's down to, what, $6 or $7 million? I think we can all agree, those of us who have ever worked on a campaign or have been a nominee or attempt to be a nominee, we understand that Joe Trippi did, or whoever was responsible for the money, did blow an awful lot of it that maybe shouldn't have been blown the way it was.
But there's two issues here. One is Dean's choices and decisions in the campaign. And I agree, they were not wise. And, you know, maybe he just isn't smart enough to be the candidate. I think that's completely disconnected from the media perception of him, which he did get out. And I supported him early on simply because he was saying the things that needed to be said. And I supported him until Wesley Clark entered. Now, you know, we talked about, well, there's no real Democrats against, save for Kucinich. But I don't think that's what this fight is going to be about in November, Mike, because... Yeah, it is very bad right now. The war, the deficit, the state of this country, the level of hatred and fear. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't just the Bush administration. You know, I think now we're down to preserving the republic, and Kerry and Lieberman and Edwards did not do their job.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they voted for the damn Patriot Act. They voted for the tax cuts. They all three of them unanimously supported Ashcroft as Attorney General. And even now they're wavering. And I have to say, there's one thing that I agree on that poll, at least the perception of the people, that Bush is a strong leader, stronger leader. And when I say Bush, I mean, you know, the consortium of people for which Bush is the figurehead.
Right.
They have just demonstrated stronger leadership. I mean, Kerry wasn't there doing his job. None of them were. And, you know, I know you like Kucinich. I like what Kucinich says. Why isn't he there calling for impeachment in the House? He's the only one of the people running who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's kind of offensive to me because all of these guys are behaving as if this is a normal election, and it isn't. And, yeah, in a normal election cycle, I would want the Democrats to decide early and fight. In this election cycle, no. I want Kerry to fight tooth and nail if he is going to be the nominee. I want Edwards to fight tooth and nail. Wesley Clark, well, the media is just burying him. He's going to be fighting tooth and nail to get anything. But they'll have to because, you know, as far as negative publicity on the part of the Bush administration toward these guys, that's already settled. They've got almost $200 million they are going to expend on the attack.
Right.
So nothing at this point, people say, is going to mean anything. The Bush people will have it all lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, quite frankly, Kerry and Edwards. And Edwards still claims the war in Iraq was a good thing. I mean, these people don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, Wes Clark is the only one that gets it. You know, and I think Democrats have a problem with him because of his military career, but I think we need to discriminate between people in the military who have no control over policy, who have to follow orders, and the administration's civilians that make that policy.
Well, yeah, and I'm certainly not going to get into an argument with you about Wes Clark, but Wes Clark made the orders. He was a Supreme Allied Commander, and you can say, well, he was operating under instructions from Clinton, and the answer to that, no, he wasn't. That was a NATO operation.
That's true. Chain of command wasn't so clear.
Right, and somebody can say that Clinton fired him. No, he didn't.
No.
That was Cohen, the Secretary of Defense, decided to get rid of him.
And as Sidney Blumenthal pointed out, I mean, Wes Clark's decision didn't benefit him at all. He lost his career over that.
Well, the problem I have, though, I have problems with all of these people, with the exception, and to a tiny degree, Kucinich. I don't expect Kucinich to become the new Christ and introduce articles of impeachment, which then turns him into, a yard dog in the U.S. House of Representatives. I have problems with all of them, the least of which is Kucinich. But with Wesley Clark is a very, very smart man, and one thing that I cannot understand is why he went along with the use of depleted uranium against the all of Middle Europe. The entire Middle Europe, the Danube, nine countries, are God only knows what the destruction is going to be because of the use of those
weapons. And if he saved 1.5 million people in the process. I mean, yeah, these are tough arguments, and you and I actually argued about this 5 years ago. However, to put what happened in Iraq and what happened in Kosovo, that was generating 2 million refugees. I mean, it was a bad situation. When somebody acts as badly as Milosevic, you have a situation between worse and much worse.
Well,
and unfortunately, that's the reality.
Well, that's true. And I think Milosevic is like a lot of these world-class tyrants. He's that. He's a world-class tyrant. He happens also to be on trial now. But I'm talking about Clark.
I understand.
I can't. I'm sorry. Now, if Clark gets the nomination, of course I'm going to vote for him. But I cannot get over any military commander understanding what happened. I was so against the war in Yugoslavia. I used to get in horrible fights with Nancy Skinner about it.
Oh yeah.
I was one of the few liberals who said no. This is an atrocity being perpetrated by our side, and I don't want to revisit that. I spoke out in Chicago on the street against this war, but I cannot support until the last minute. Yeah, if it comes down the last minute, you're damn right.
But Mike, as I said, I think this is counter to what a lot of people are saying. Keep Denis Kucinich in the race. By God, keep Al Sharpton in the race, because what he's saying is just downright wonderful.
Well, before you say that, check out, there's a Village Voice article about Al Sharpton. He's being funded and supported by Republicans. Read the article. It's up right now, villagevoice.com. Check it out. It's an astonishing article.
Mike, it doesn't even matter, because they're sharpening up. Those guys staying in the race are sharpening up who's ever going to have to be the front runner, and they're going to have to train. And I want to go right to the convention, because as far as I'm concerned right now, it doesn't matter that we all have a gentleman's agreement at that moment. The person who is facing the Bush machine has got to be so tough and so worked over, to be conditioned for this.
That's true.
I'm hoping it's a long battle.
I hear you. Marianne, thanks for checking in.
All right.
All right. Appreciate your call. We're going to take your calls on this. We're going to get to the Bush's budget. No. Don't start thinking about, at that point, Mike, I'll leave your show. No. I've got some stuff that you're going to freak over where it concerns Bush's budget. Trust me on that. Paul is calling from Poconos, PA. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Just fine. I'd like to thank you for the time that I spent listening to you these last year or so now, and I really appreciate what you've done.
Well, thank you. Can I get you to hold a minute?
Sure.
Okay, because I got to take this break. That's very kind of you to say that, Paul. Hold on just a second. We'll come right back.
I've been drinking gin like never before. I feel so good that I want you to know.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Kathy. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it. Stop surfing and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
preservatives. Here comes your worst nightmare. It's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour, we are talking with Paul in Poconos, PA. Paul, thanks for holding on.
Yeah, it's a fine. Earlier last summer when I looked at Kucinich, I liked him. And, that's partially from listening to you, and it's partially from just searching everybody's website to see what they had to say. And I settled in on Kucinich and went to a meetup this past fall right here in town, and there was about six of us, just a small group. And interesting, I met a few women there who had formed a group called the Pocono Progressives. And basically, I asked them, why weren't you just, regular Democrats? And they said, well, the local party here in town is dead. Mm-hmm. They don't have meetings. They, when they do have a meeting, they argue about where they're going to go for dinner at the next meeting, and that's about it. So they formed the Pocono Progressives, and they've done a lot of work in the community as far as trying to expose what Bush is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Last evening, I had the pleasure of attending a Get Out the Vote meeting with the local Democratic Party and the Pocono Progressives. And I would say there was about triple the normal group of people there. So there's a lot of people of varied walks of life. The one thought they all had was, anybody but Bush, he's got to go.
Right.
And we didn't discuss who we're going to vote for in the primary. That really didn't come up. But what I found out was there was a lot of people there. You had school teachers. You had professionals. You had guys digging in the ditch that were there. Mm-hmm. They wanted to help. And what we're trying to do is basically hound the Democrats in the county, get them out to the primaries, register Democrats, and this is how we're going to help out. We're just going to go out and register people and try to register Democrats. I mean, this is what we all need to do. We can sit here all night, complain about that idiot in Washington, or we can get out, register, we can call Democrats, we can sit on a phone, we can help. I think it's very important that we all do that. If we all register five new Democrats, we'll win.
Yeah, and I think what I hope this is the case, what has reactivated or reanimated the Democratic Party.
Oh, it has.
Is the realization of how close we are right now to a pure corporatist or fascist state, and,
yes,
and four more years of Bush, and we have lost what the founding, what the framers of this country set up 200 some years ago. We have lost it, and we will never get it back. He's almost already guaranteed. We've got one more chance. This is it. This is really it.
I don't think gloom and doom is what we're looking at right now as far as this election. I see
a lot
of enthusiasm from people that never voted before, people that have voted. Anybody you walk to on the street, my neighbor came across the other day, and we started talking, and I find out he wants to get rid of Bush. That's all he cares about.
No, well, that's the important thing. Thank you, Paul.
Good night, sir.
All right, sir. Appreciate you checking in. Quick break. We'll be back. A couple open lines here. 800-825-5937. Join us.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
Three Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday after a suspicious white powder, apparently delivered through the mail system, was found in the Senate Majority Leader's office. Officials said several preliminary tests, but not all of them, were positive for ricin, a deadly poison. More definitive test results were expected later Tuesday. Dirksen and the other two main Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday as authorities were to remove and test all mail that has been delivered there. Senate officials were hoping that the process would take only a day, said one congressional official speaking on condition of anonymity. The closures were forcing the cancellation of committee meetings scheduled for those buildings, but the Capitol was to remain open with the Senate convening Tuesday morning as scheduled. There were no reports of anyone becoming sick from exposure as of Tuesday morning, the congressional official said. John Edwards and Wesley Clark hoped to prevent frontrunner John Curry from sweeping the seven states with delegate elections Tuesday, while Howard Dean looked ahead to another day to rejuvenate his faltering campaign for president. The states with primaries or caucuses, Arizona, Delaware, Missouri, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and South Carolina, likely will narrow the field or at least shake up the strategies of those who fail to win delegates. George W. Bush's $2.4 trillion budget is taking broadsides from Republicans for spending too much, from Democrats for embracing the wrong priorities, and from anti-deficit groups for masking red ink. Former General Wesley Clark said Bush's goals were tax cuts for the rich and tough luck for everyone else. Joe Lieberman called it fiscal insanity, and John Kerry called the plan the same failed Republican prescription that has caused Bush to lose 2.5 million jobs in the past 3 years. Bush's spending plan strains the credibility of the administration's claim of cutting the deficit in half, said a statement by the bipartisan Concord Coalition, which advocates careful spending. And the budget is long on promises, short on reality, and incapable of taking our nation's fiscal health off life support, said Steve Ellis, a vice president of Taxpayers for Common Sense. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
A wallet lost by a Swedish teenager more than 40 years ago has been returned, complete with the cash its owner once considered a small fortune. Gulli Wilborg was 18 when she lost the red wallet while riding her bicycle in the southern Sweden town of Trelleborg in 1963. So after 4 decades, she was stunned to open an envelope last week and find that someone had anonymously sent her the long-forgotten wallet. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Preachers talk often about the Sunday saints in their congregations, those who sit conspicuously in the front pews on Sunday mornings, but spend the 6 other days of the week wantonly violating assorted religious commandments and ignoring the ethical teachings of the church. I thought of Sunday saints when I saw that George W. Bush made a conspicuous 15-minute stop to lay a wreath at the tomb of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. in Atlanta on the birthday of the great civil rights leader. It was a staged effort by Bush's political advisors to suggest to black voters and other civil rights advocates that George is a devotee of Dr. King's teachings and of his historic fight for justice. His pious posturing lost its glow the very next day, however. Only hours after laying the wreath, Bush used a sneaky maneuver to appoint a Mississippi judge, Charles Pickering, to the Federal Appeals Court, a judge twice rejected by the Senate Judiciary Committee for having a history of being insensitive on racial issues, and that's putting it mildly. Indeed, NAACP leader Julian Bond bluntly calls Pickering a segregationist judge. The disparity between George's posturing and his policies was not lost on the people of Atlanta. Bush actually had flown there for a fundraiser, where he pocketed more than $1 million from the well-heeled, not exactly Dr. King's constituency. But hundreds of King's followers were there when Bush made his 15-minute stop at the gravesite, greeting him with a cascade of boos and protest chants. But George didn't have to see these non-rich citizens, for his handlers lined a row of buses between them and him, putting police in riot gear atop all the buses to keep the people in their place. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that's a picture of establishment force exerted against common folks that Dr. King would have recognized, and he would have rebelled against it as well.
A chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I'm going right there somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll return.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. All right, we're going to take two more calls on the primary stuff that's going on tonight, and then I want to move on because we have some other fish to fry, as they say. Eric is calling from is it Mount Clair, New Jersey. Eric?
Yes, hello, Michael.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, wonderful, wonderful. I just wanted to... I don't know. Get your opinion on something. I follow a lot of the right wing media. I probably listen to more of them than I do of you and Amy Goodman and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's come to my attention recently, well, not recently, it's been going on for months and months and months, is that, for example, all the way down from the Washington Times to Ed Gillespie to people over at Free Republic. They are still counting on the Democratic convention being a brokered convention and Hillary Clinton sweeping down like an avenging angel and becoming the Democratic Party nominee. And what gets me about this is I really have to wonder, number one, what is their obsession with this woman? And number two, what would they do if this woman died tomorrow in a tragic accident?
Well,
it would
that,
be like they lost yeah. their genitalia.
Well,
they wouldn't have anything to do.
Well, that's part of it. They were fascinated with Clinton's penis, and they never got a chance to see it, which is all they wanted. They wanted Clinton to have to disrobe in a court of law during the deposition that he had to give for the Paula Jones case. And they didn't get a chance to see his penis. All Republican men are hooked on Viagra or some of the... I'm sure you noticed the commercials during the Super Bowl.
I don't watch the Super Bowl. I was too busy watching C-SPAN.
I watched the Super Bowl. And what's his new product now?
Cialis.
Right. These are what Republican men need in order to get an erection. And it's because they never got a chance to see Clinton's penis. Now they have transferred that to Hillary's vagina. They are desperate to see Hillary's vagina. They are fascinated with Hillary as a bitch goddess of some sort, and they want to worship at the vagina. And they are sick, sick people. That's all I can tell you. These, what would they, what would happen if Hillary died tomorrow? They would construct a Hillary Clinton vagina at which they would worship. Now, they hate the vagina as well as worshiping at it. They are sick. I've never seen a group of people more sick in this country than Republican men. They are sick beyond belief, but they are hung up on genitalia. First it was Clinton's penis, now it's Hillary's vagina. And this is where they will always remain. That's the best answer I can give you, pal.
That's certainly a unique take. I hadn't anticipated anything like that.
That's exactly what it is. I remember when they were screaming for Clinton to have to drop his pants during the Paula Jones case, and how pissed off Larry Klayman of Judicial Watch, who's now running for the Senate apparently in South Florida. Larry Klayman was just absolutely furious that he couldn't see, touch, and fondle Bill Clinton's penis. He even tried to get a friend of the court brief filed, demanding that Paula Jones's claim that Bill Clinton's penis was odd-shaped had to be displayed in court. And when Larry Klayman didn't get that, he's not been right since.
Ah, man. Well, hey, I
well, listen to the next time. The next time you listen to Rush Limbaugh, listen to, I mean, surely you.
I don't go that far.
Oh, you don't go that far? Well, look up in the DSM-4, look up penis envy. Look at George Bush, the problem he has with his inability to measure up to Pappy Bush. George Bush Jr. somehow got the idea at some point in his young childhood that daddy's penis was bigger than his, and he can't handle it. But look up the term, the definitive term. Look, go do a Google on penis envy, and then listen to Rush Limbaugh, or listen to O'Reilly, or listen to any of these right-wing talk show hosts, radio or television, and you will hear penis envy where it concerns Clinton. That's what they were about, all of them, every single one of them.
Well, Mike, one last thing. I just want to thank you. I'm the webmaster of bushflash.com, and I want to thank you for publicizing the problems I was having with the nicedoggy.net weirdos a couple months back.
Well, you've got a great website. You've got an absolutely amazing website.
Well, you've got an absolutely amazing radio show, and I hope after the end of February we can hear you somewhere, because you're needed out there.
You will. Put together a video. You do it. Eric, you're a genius. Do something that talks about this penis envy and vagina envy. You can do it, pal.
I don't know. I try to keep the site, you know, PG-13.
Well, what's PG-13? Not PG-13. We're talking clinical terms here. There's nothing wrong with saying vagina. There's nothing wrong with saying penis. These are very clinical terms.
True.
So I'm going to count on you, Eric, because you are so good at this. All right?
I'll do what I can. I can't make any promises because Kucinich and a bunch of other people are keeping me very busy these days.
Thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
All right,
bye.
Sir. You have a nice evening. Absolute computer video genius, this guy we were just talking to. You all have seen his work. You've seen it all over the place. Okay, last call on the political thing tonight, and it's our old friend Nelson from Syracuse, New York. Hey, Nelson.
Hi, Mike.
How are you doing tonight?
Good.
All right. Well, did your man win, lose? What? What's going on?
My man is dead tired. Dead last.
Yeah, well, that would be my man, too, then.
Yes.
Kucinich, right, I hear you.
Kucinich, right. But, you know, when they watch Kerry take all these delegates, what I keep thinking is, here are the tough questions we'll be asking ourselves if he gets the nomination.
Right.
We'll be asking ourselves, do I want Bush to continue the illegal occupation of Iraq?
Right, right.
Do I want Kerry to continue the illegal occupation of Iraq?
Mm-hmm.
Do I want Bush to continue with NAFTA,
right.
Or do I want Kerry to continue with NAFTA? Do I want Bush to deny us single-payer health care? Or do I want Kerry to deny us single-payer pills.
I know. And you can go on and on. I know. I understand. But when the rubber hits the road, Nelson, you and I, if it comes to this, we're going to vote for Kerry, aren't we?
But it's just a matter of name. At that point in my mind, it's just a matter of name.
I know. I understand.
You know, so, and I could say the same about Dean, or Clark.
But, I think you'll agree. I hope you'll agree with this. As much of Republican light, or whatever he is, that Kerry is, that Edwards is, that Dean is, as much as it appears that there's not a dime's worth of difference between them and Bush, you will admit, will you not, Nelson, that there is a profound difference between John Kerry, for example, and George Bush? John Kerry...
You know what I say to that.
All right.
It's the corporate neocons playing good cops.
Bad cop. All right, let's take it one step further, though. Go a little bit deeper. John Kerry cannot be the beast that George Bush is. Howard Dean cannot be the psychopath or the ignoramus that George Bush is. Will you agree with me on that? Not on that either?
But we're just being manipulated.
Yeah. Well, I had a very good friend in Chicago who... I went round and round with about this last time where it concerned Ralph Nader, so I understand what you're saying, Nelson. I really do. I support Kucinich, as you know, and I do know also when it comes to November 2nd, I may have to choose between which the Democrat or the Republican is going to deny me the things that you said.
If I have to choose, I'll probably choose whoever gets the nomination.
On the
but I'll still feel as though we're doomed.
Well, the time may come when people like you and me who believe in Democratic Party principles will have another shot, Nelson. I don't think it was guys like you and me who lost the Democratic Party. I, from what I can gather about you, you and I have always been Democrats. The DLC destroyed it. And
actually, I was a Republican about 10, 15 years ago.
You were?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. Well, I guess conversion is possible then, right?
I thought I was a Republican.
Yeah.
That's the funny thing. Someone had to take me and shake me and say, if you believe in all these things... You're not a Republican.
Right. Well, I've been a Democrat all my life, Nelson, since I could tell the difference between the party of liars and killers and the party of people who wanted to try to make life better for all of us.
Right.
Nelson, thank you, sir. Don't be a stranger.
Well, don't have too much more time.
No, that's right.
You can be gone.
About 3 weeks, but we'll wind up someplace. Just check my website, michaelloyd.com.
I'll keep my eyes open.
All right. Good enough.
Talk to you again.
Thank you, Nelson. Appreciate you checking in. Okay. Holly sent this to me. It's a little a report from CNN White House correspondent Kelly Wallace almost 4 years ago, September 27th, 2000. Now, that was what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks before the election of 2000. And as soon as we come back from this break, I want to share it with you. I think you'll find it sadly nostalgic.
Power to the people. welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered.
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided.
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. So, September 27th, 2000, CNN White House correspondent Kelly Wallace reported the following. President Clinton announced today that the federal budget surplus for fiscal year 2000 amounted to at least $230 billion, making it the largest surplus in U.S. history and and topping last year's record surplus of $122.7 billion. Clinton said Wednesday morning, quote, 8 years ago, our future was at risk. Economic growth was low, unemployment was high, interest rates were high, the federal debt had quadrupled in the previous 12 years. When Vice President Gore and I took office, the budget deficit was $290 billion, and it was projected this year the budget deficit would be $455 billion, end quote. Instead, President Clinton explained, the $5.7 trillion national debt has been reduced by $360 billion in the last 3 years, $223 billion this year alone. This represents, Clinton said, quote, the largest one-year debt reduction in the history of the United States. He added, like our Olympic athletes in Sydney, the American people are breaking all kinds of records these days. This is the first year we've balanced the budget without using the Medicare Trust Fund since Medicare was created in 1965. I think, President Clinton said, we should follow Al Gore's advice and lock those trust funds away for the future. End quote. In June last, the administration predicted the surplus would be $211 billion. It was, in fact, $230 billion. The Clinton administration also said that the surplus would increase by as much as $1 trillion over the next 10 years. Clinton said, quote, the key to fiscal discipline is maintaining these results year after year. We need to put our priorities in order. I am concerned, he said, frankly, about the size and last-minute nature of this year's congressional spending spree, where they seem to be loading up the spending bills with special projects for special interests, but can't seem to find the time to raise the minimum wage, or pass a patient's bill of rights, or drug benefits for our seniors through Medicare, or tax cuts for long-term child care, or college education. These are the things, Clinton added, that needs to be done, and I certainly hope they will be, and still make the right investments and the right amount of tax cuts. He added, this is part of our fiscal discipline, to reduce the debt with the federal surplus. Clinton explained that that meant lower interest rates for mortgages, car loans, and college loans, and leads to an increase in investment and more jobs. It is the third year in a row the federal government has taken in more than it has spent. The last time the U.S. government had a third consecutive year of national debt reduction was 1949. And there's a little more here, but then Holly adds, now in 2004, what? You know, I truly, till the day I die, I realize the election was stolen from Al Gore. I understand that. But till the day I die, I will not understand why it was that Al Gore only won by 500,000 votes. I just I never could understand that. I know the Democrats are energized. You can see that by the number of turnout in these primaries. But I wonder if the Republicans, the people that had their, what little brains they have, scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed by Rush Limbaugh during the entire successful years of both Clinton presidencies. I wonder if those people realize that Rush Limbaugh and the Republicans were out to do one thing to them, and that was just gut them. I wonder if they understand that.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Prozac might be a great drug for some people, but it could be a real downer for some fish. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Prozac has helped a lot of people overcome problems with depression, but it might cause problems when it ends up in open waters and affects the lives of fish and other aquatic organisms. Brian Brooks is an aquatic toxicologist at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. He says the active ingredient in Prozac is called fluoxetine, and last summer he found traces of it in bluegills, catfish, and crappie in a creek near Denton, Texas. Brooks says the human body does not metabolize all the fluoxetine in Prozac. That means some of the compound is excreted in human waste, and it ends up in wastewater at sewage treatment plants. Those plants are not designed to remove fluoxetine. For that matter, they're not designed to deal with a lot of personal care products like medicine, fragrances, and deodorants. Brooks says traces of these compounds are ultimately discharged into open waters in wastewater that has otherwise been treated thoroughly.
There are a number of pharmaceutical and personal care products which are being introduced into aquatic environments over long periods of time at low levels. And we have limited understanding for most, if not all, of the compounds about their occurrence, the magnitude, frequency, duration at which they're introduced into aquatic ecosystems. And then we have very limited information on the potential responses of aquatic organisms to these drugs and personal care products.
Brooks says the environmental impact of these compounds is getting more attention in the scientific community. He says they could change the reproductive behaviors of fish and disrupt their ability to find food or flee from predators. Over the long run, that could have serious consequences in some places for the ability of fish to survive. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Restoring balance to talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-seven before the hour. We got an email here from Lois in Monroeville, PA. Mike, answering the question, where are the Dean supporters? She says, "Are you talking to me?" Dean supporters haven't gone anywhere. I'm right here. Speaking for my husband and myself, we work hard, come home, run our family, try to tolerate or set straight the countless and clueless non-thinkers in our neck of the woods, and continue to support Howard Dean. Interestingly enough, the media and DNC have been pretty much doing as Roy Neal suggested, declaring Kerry the winner today after fewer than 10% of the state delegates have been chosen. At this point, Kerry is claiming fewer than one-third of the delegates he needs to win. So I guess if perception is reality, then you could say it's over. You could, but you wouldn't be me saying it. No, I'll join with a bunch of folks this Saturday, February 7th, and standing on a fairly busy street corner holding onto a homemade sign which says, "I am Howard Dean's special interest." That's all for now. I'll keep you posted. Lois in Monroeville. Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. The deficit thing, that bit from Clinton 3.5 years ago, can you, doesn't that seem like it was, I don't know, a fairy tale? So long ago. Look what these people have done. Oh, my God. The Daily Mislead points out that on the same day, that's people at MoveOn.org, the same day that the White House unveiled its 2005 budget, the one Bush just released, Bush said, he tried to explain in his inimitable way why, on his watch, this country now faces a record $500 billion deficit. Bush said, you'll remember, we had the soundbite, the reason we are where we are in terms of the deficit is because we went through a recession that he caused, we were attacked by people who were friends of his family's, and we're fighting a war that he caused and started based on false pretenses. But that's what he said. However, according to the Congressional Budget Office, the single biggest cause of the deficit is Bush's massive tax cuts for the wealthy, which he, of course, didn't mention specifically. According to the CBO, 36% of the deficit comes from the tax cuts, while only 31% comes from defense or war-related spending increases, and the rest comes from the economic slowdown that Bush has presided over and engineered, really, since he's been in office. In fact, the mislead writes, Bush actually acknowledged in last year's budget that the deficit is primarily his fault. Table such and such in Bush's 2004 budget shows, I'm quoting here, unambiguously that the administration's fiscal 2004 budget proposes a massive annual increase in the deficit, and that without those proposals, the nation will return to surplus. In other words, Bush is falsely invoking national security, the terrorist attacks of 9/11, and the war in Iraq to hide the fact that his tax cuts for the wealthy have created the largest deficits in U.S. history. Now, his new budget? Oh, God, you probably know this already. They will be cutting EPA money more than 7% from levels Congress enacted in 2004, slashing funds for clean water projects by $500 million. EPA Administrator Mike Leavitt, he's the new one, who took over from Christy Whitman. He says the new budget allocates, in his words, substantially more money than prior years. So everything's okay. Leavitt said, with the president's budget, we can increase the velocity of environmental protection. Do you like that? We can increase the velocity of environmental protection. I hate these people. I hate the way they corrupt language. I hate their lies. And that's all they do anymore is lie. Some lawmakers and environmental groups criticize this budget as hindering U.S. environmental initiatives. Well, no kidding. Independent Senator Jim Jeffords of Vermont said, quote, this budget not only shortchanges our environment, it challenges our nation's role as a global environmental leader. And it goes on and on and on. The Bush is cutting $850 million for safe or for clean drinking water, cutting 37%. Or $492 million from a revolving fund which states use to upgrade sewage and septic systems. Oh, and by the way, in the Bush budget is also the reality that Bush and his criminals will be pushing Congress this year to open up Alaska's Arctic National Wild. You thought that was a dead issue? Uh-uh. They're going to be pushing it again to open up the refuge to oil drilling. Because part of the budget says that they can raise $2.4 billion in leasing fees to the oil companies to go there and destroy everything. And that half that amount will go toward increasing funding for the Energy Department's Renewable Energy Technology Research Programs. Right. Yeah. Yeah, they actually say that. They actually say that. Yeah, we're going to open up the Alaska Wildlife Refuge, and we'll take in $2.5 billion, and we're going to have half of that to Energy Department for Renewable Energy Research. Mm-hmm. Now, you know how Bush is always talking about small businesses? You'd think this guy had owned a small business at one time, a successful. He's always talking about small businesses. Well, and how it's the backbone of America. His budget will cut a key subsidy for U.S. small businesses that's been there for 50 years. It's called the 7A program. It was shut down back in last month by the SBA, Small Business Administration, after loan applications exceeded a temporary funding level set because Congress hadn't approved the federal budget. Now, the budget was passed in late January, and the SBA restored the loan program, but imposed a $750,000 cap on people. The bottom line of all this is that small business loans are going to be unavailable to entrepreneurs who used to think, well, gee, I put together my business plan, I can go to the government, get a loan. U.S. Representative Velasquez, a Democrat from New York, the ranking Democrat on the House Small Business Committee, said that Bush is abandoning small businesses. She says even though small businesses are the number one job creator in this country, and jobs are exactly what the American people need right now, the SBA is one of the hardest hit agencies in Bush's $2.4 trillion fiscal year budget. He's such a liar. Oh, my God, he's such a liar. I can hardly stand it. Can I scream? Have I said yet tonight how much I hate these people? I think I have. All right, let's do some sound. This is simple Scotty McClellan at the briefing today, right? Now, the White House press corps is starting to grow a pair, or something is going on. I'm not sure. This is reporter John on Colin Powell's comments about the Iraqi war to the Washington Post. The reporter says, Scott, did anyone from the White House talk to Secretary Powell this morning and ask him to clarify the remarks that he made in an interview with the Post where he said, quote, I don't know if I would have recommended going to war had we known then what we know now about Iraq's weapons stockpiles. Scott, did anyone talk to him?
We talk to Secretary Powell all the time. He's a valued member of this administration. So we talk to him on a daily basis. The Secretary's comments, I think, spoke for themselves.
So that's a yes?
We speak to the Secretary all the time, John. I would not characterize it the way you're trying to characterize it. The Secretary was the one who made the points that he did earlier today.
Doesn't it drive you crazy to listen to Scott McClellan? It does me. Now the reporters actually begin to really ask some tough questions about Bush's AWOL. Even more surprising, they press Simple Scotty for real answers. Reporter Terry begins, Scott, you've previously expressed some outrage that Democrats are questioning whether President Bush shirked his military duty with the Texas Air National Guard. Is the White House trying to come up with any records or any eyewitnesses to demonstrate that he did show up for his last 2 years in Alabama?
Terry, I would just say that it was a shame that this issue was brought up 4 years ago during the campaign, and it is a shame that it is being brought up again. The president fulfilled his duties. The president was honorably discharged.
The question actually was whether or not you're trying to find any eyewitnesses or any records to
prove. Terry, this was addressed 4 years ago, and like I said, it was a shame that it came up then, and it's a shame that some are bringing it up again.
Yeah, like you, Terry. Shame on you. Shame on you. Don't you know our leader was an honorable warrior? He served his country. My God, when he was in the Texas Air National Guard, they trained him on airplanes that the military didn't even use back then. Because you see, when George went into the National Guard, when so many American men went into the National Guard back during Vietnam, went into the Champagne units, it was understood that they would never leave the safety of America. Let the Latinos and the poor whites and the poor Negroes go fight the Viet Cong. The rich white boys, they're staying here. They're staying here. Reporter Nora follows up on the AWOL question. Scott, as you know, the president was committed to a 6-year term in the Texas Air National Guard, and what's at issue is the last 2 years. And the commander of the Alabama unit, in which Bush was assigned in 1972, said that Lieutenant Bush never showed up. That is absent without leave, Scott, otherwise known as AWOL, which is the charge that the Democrats are making. Can you be specific, then, about those last 2 years which are in question?
Nor we already have been specific. We were specific 4 years ago when this shameful accusation was made. I think you need to go back and look at the facts. The president was honorably discharged. He fulfilled his duties. It is really sad that people are now stooping to this level once again, and people should condemn this.
You know, maybe Peter Jennings pulled a fast one when a week or so ago when he questioned Wesley Clark about Michael Moore's endorsement and Michael Moore's statement about George Bush being a deserter. Maybe when Peter Jennings made the kind of feisty, pointed question/statement to Wesley Clark, maybe Peter Jennings had a hidden agenda, and that was to finally get this out, where some of his fellow media whores would have the courage to bring it up, at least with Scott McClellan. You suppose? Reporter Nora won't leave it alone, though. Even better, Terry Moran jumps in, and they tag team Simple Scotty. See if you can hear this.
So where was he then in that period where his commander says he did not?
This has already been previously addressed 4 years ago. Yet some people continue to stoop to the level that they are now stooping to.
So the White House position is that the honorable discharge answers the question.
Commanding officers
were concerned to conform to people, honorably.
People that are discharged honorably are people that have fulfilled their duties.
I love the way Scotty was told by Karl Rove to use the term stooping to the level, stoop to the level that they're now stooping to, stoop to the level. We addressed this 4 years ago. It's amazing. Shame, shame, stoop to the level, shame, stoop, shame, shame, stoop, stoop, stoop to the shame level, stoop, stoop, stoop to the level, shame, level, stoop, shame level, stoop to the stoop, stoop to the shame, stoop, lame, shame, stoop to the stoop, stoop, stoop to the shame, lame, stoop, stoop. So you see what, now this is a preview. Shoop, stoop, slame, shame, blame, shoop, stoop, shame, blame. This is a preview. Can you imagine the Democratic nominee, whoever he is, and Bush, and the Democratic nominee having the courage to bring this issue up, or whoever the crack interrogator from the whorish, bought-and-paid-for American media that will be conducting the debates between the Democrat and Bush. That reporter saying, Mr. Bush, what about the charge by your opponent over here that you went AWOL from the Texas Air National Guard? Stoop, shoop, shame, stoop, stoop to the level of stoop, shoop, shame, shame, shame on you, shame, stoop, stoop, sloop. This is about 4 years ago. Shoop, stoop, sloop, shame, shame, stoop, sloop, shame, 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 shame. You see where it's going? Sure you do. Remember when Bush said the other day when he made a little trip up to New Hampshire that the government has plenty of money? You remember that? He was asked some questions about the deficit and deficit spending and the country going into debt. And he said, government's got plenty of money. Remember that? Well, consider these facts. By understating the impact of the government's ballooning trade deficit and the costs associated with it, the federal deficit could be as much as $600 billion greater over the next decade than that estimated by the Congressional Budget Office. Now, what that has to do with, the numbers can only go up. It's what we said earlier tonight in the course of one of the conversations. God only knows who's going to pay off the destruction, the financial destruction that this punk, this thug, and his gang has wrought on this country. Not only do we have to climb out of this unemployment, not only do we have to reestablish our reputation globally, not only do we have to redo 30 years of environmental protection that these people have destroyed, we also have to figure out a way to save our grandchildren from paying for Bush's payoff to his rich friends.
We can save the last sea turtles. But they don't vote, so I don't care. Compassionate conservative, don't know what it means. It's something we cooked up for press release. Texas leads the world in the death penalty. But
are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Show.
Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 $1,000 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
And so I've submitted a plan that not only reduces the rate at the bottom, but raises the top rate as well.
Isn't he a genius? Isn't he just...
Michael is calling from Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Mike. I love your show.
Well, thank you.
I am going to miss you guys so much. I hope somebody picks you up. And
I'm sure it'll happen, yeah.
I'm sure. Oops, sorry about that.
That's right.
Back there. You know, it just observes to me that, like, the Bush, that chimp, he's a one-trick pony, you know?
He is indeed.
Like, you know, what do you think about the electric grid? 9/11. What do you think about the environment? 9/11. What do you think about the economy? 9/11. You know, it's like he's talking, and then, you know, he's talking about cutting money for schools, but he wants $1.5 billion for marriage promotion.
Isn't that nice?
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's really pathetic about this, if it wasn't for, like, websites like Democratic Underground or Brainshrub.com, you know, I don't know where I get any freaking information. Thank God for the Internet.
Can you imagine if Bill Clinton or Al Gore were president and they came up with an idea of spending $1.5 billion of taxpayers' money to tell people how to get married? Can you imagine the screams from the media, the screams from the Republican leadership about the government sticking its nose where it doesn't belong into the sanctity of the family? What Democrat has pointed out that this $1.5 billion on marriage counseling is an obscenity? And not one, as far as I know. Do you know of any who has said anything?
You know, if I was a Democratic candidate, I'd be jumping up and down and screaming about it right now. I just can't believe. And that not only can I not believe that he would propose it, I can't believe that, like, some guy sat in front of the president, proposed the idea, and then he sat there and went, "Yeah, that's a good idea." I mean, it's like, what the heck? If whatever he's smoking, I want some of it.
I hear that. You know? Yeah, I hear that. Or but, else he needs to smoke more of it, so he'll just leave everything alone and just go away.
You know what, though? There was this movie. It was called The Tao of Bill or The Tao of Ted. I don't know what it was. But there was a scene in the movie where some woman is talking to the character. He's saying, "Why don't you do anything? You're so smart. You could achieve so much." Mm-hmm. And he turns around and he says, "You know, look at Hitler. You know, wouldn't you prefer that he just sit back and smoke a bong? He achieved a whole lot, you know? And I really wish that Bush, you know, didn't get off the bottle. Why didn't he just keep doing coke and end up in a cardboard box somewhere and do the rest of the country a favor?"
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate you checking in. Good to hear from you. All right, quick break here. We'll be back. Final hour coming up. I'd like to hear from you now.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Oh, I don't know what that is. 800-825-5937 is the number. So do join us if Kathy can get things straightened out there. Have you got things? There we go. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2004.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. John Edwards and Wesley Clark hope to prevent frontrunner John Curry from sweeping the seven states with delegate elections Tuesday, while Howard Dean looked ahead to another day to rejuvenate his faltering campaign for president. The states with primaries are caucuses: Arizona, Delaware, Missouri, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and South Carolina. Likely will narrow the field or at least shake up the strategies of those who fail to win delegates. George W. Bush's $2.4 trillion budget is taking broadsides from Republicans for spending too much, from Democrats for embracing the wrong priorities, and from anti-deficit groups for masking red ink. Former General Wesley Clark said Bush's goals were tax cuts for the rich and tough luck for everyone else. Joe Lieberman called it fiscal insanity, and John Kerry called the plan the same failed Republican prescription that has caused Bush to lose 2.5 million jobs in the past 3 years. Bush's spending plan strains the credibility of the administration's claim of cutting the deficit in half, said a statement by the bipartisan Concord Coalition, which advocates careful spending. And the budget is long on promises, short on reality, and incapable of taking our nation's fiscal health off life support, said Steve Ellis, a vice president of Taxpayers for Common Sense. Three Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday after a suspicious white powder, apparently delivered through the mail system, was found in the Senate Majority Leader's office. Officials said several preliminary tests, but not all of them, were positive for ricin, a deadly poison. More definitive test results were expected later Tuesday. Dirksen and the other two main Senate office buildings were closed Tuesday as authorities were to remove and test all mail that has been delivered there. Senate officials were hoping that the process would take only a day, said one congressional official speaking on condition of anonymity. The closures were forcing the cancellation of committee meetings scheduled for those buildings, but the Capitol was to remain open with the Senate convening Tuesday morning as scheduled. There were no reports of anyone becoming sick from exposure as of Tuesday morning, the congressional official said. More news after this.
Our national parks have always been there for us, standing as silent reminders of who we are and what it means to be an American. They are full of history, of memories, of majesty. But now these great American treasures need our help. I'm Richard Dreyfuss, asking you to help preserve America's national parks. Visit AmericansForNationalParks.org today, because there's just too much to lose.
This is a public service announcement from Americans for National Parks and this radio station.
Syracuse isn't just talking about winning honors as upstate New York's snowiest big city. It might break its all-time record. Syracuse had 137.8 inches of snow as of February 1st, more than 3 feet more than any big city in New York, the National Weather Service says. That puts Syracuse in the lead to win the Golden Snowball Race for upstate New York's snowiest big city. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cassie, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Preachers talk often about the Sunday saints in their congregations, those who sit conspicuously in the front pews on Sunday mornings, but spend the 6 other days of the week wantonly violating assorted religious commandments and ignoring the ethical teachings of the church. I thought of Sunday Saints when I saw that George W. Bush made a conspicuous 15-minute stop to lay a wreath at the tomb of the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. in Atlanta on the birthday of the great civil rights leader. It was a staged effort by Bush's political advisors to suggest to black voters and other civil rights advocates that George is a devotee of Dr. King's teachings and of his historic fight for justice. This pious posturing lost its glow the very next day, however. Only hours after laying the wreath, Bush used a sneaky maneuver to appoint a Mississippi judge, Charles Pickering, to the Federal Appeals Court, a judge twice rejected by the Senate Judiciary Committee for having a history of being insensitive on racial issues, and that's putting it mildly. Indeed, NAACP leader Julian Bond bluntly calls Pickering a segregationist judge. The disparity between George's posturing and his policies was not lost on the people of Atlanta. Bush actually had flown there for a fundraiser, where he pocketed more than $1 million from the well-heeled, not exactly Dr. King's constituency. But hundreds of King's followers were there when Bush made his 15-minute stop at the gravesite, greeting him with a cascade of boos and protest chants. But George didn't have to see these non-rich citizens, for his handlers lined a row of buses between them and him, putting police in riot gear atop all the buses to keep the people in their place. This is Jim Hightower saying, now that's a picture of establishment force exerted against common folks that Dr. King would have recognized, and he would have rebelled against it as well.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
you
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however, each month. You'd have
I want to
different...
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7.5 past the hour. We're in the home stretch here. I don't suppose anything different has happened with the primaries tonight. Kerry, a winner in a couple of the states, Edwards in South Carolina, Lieberman out, my man dead last, but we're not giving up. Okay, let's go to the some of your calls here. I am got a very sore mouth. Jeff is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing
Sorry
fine.
About your mouth.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I just wanted to tell you about a little bit about what's been going on with people trying to change their party to be able to vote, go from green to Democrat, and they're being denied.
In New Mexico, in Santa Fe?
Yes, in New Mexico.
Well, wait a minute. What does that mean?
Well, they're doing the paperwork, but the state's not filing it in time.
But New Mexico, I thought, was you've got a Democratic governor, don't you?
Yeah, sort of.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I thought, isn't Bill Richardson your governor?
Yeah.
Yeah? Well, isn't he a Democrat?
Well, he says he is.
Ah.
I think he's another Republican light.
I see. Okay.
So it's been very interesting. There's been hundreds of people that have complained because either they tried to do absentee ballots.
Okay, what about the Secretary of State in Nevada? Or I'm sorry, in
New Mexico.
Yeah, what about the Secretary of State there?
Never mentioned. I don't know. I imagine we'll have.
Is it a man or woman, Democrat, Republican? Is he or she responsive to people who are saying, "Hey, Your office is not. I would assume you go through the Secretary of State.
Well, but for these people, it's too late for them to be able to change the parties and vote in the primary.
Well, this sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, so it's interesting. I mean, let me give you a little information about my day because I thought this was very interesting.
Okay.
I'm lunchtime. I'm driving to deliver some doors I've worked on, and I'm driving down the main thoroughfare. And I look up, and there's a guy where they always have the protests, you know, the anti-war protests and stuff. And he's putting up his little Dean placards. And I'm like, yeah. And right ahead of him is a party of three. And actually, it's two guys. And then in front of them is another guy. And he's kicking over the placards that are there. And I see Dean and Kucinich placards just get kicked and knocked to the side of the road. And I'm thinking, well, and he looks like a young kind of juvenile delinquent, and I'm driving by, and it's rush hour traffic, and I'm ready to yell at him. And I look over, and I swear to God, it was a 50-year-old dressed as a young punk.
Huh.
And I'm thinking, oh, it's a Republican.
Yeah, you know, this is really starting to irritate me. You know how the Republicans are talking about how the Democrats are full of hate. Going all the way back to the screaming pounding on doors and windows with all the congressional aide down in Florida in the attempt to recount the votes.
Oh, yeah, and look what happened to Gore and his family while it was going on.
Right.
They're out there blaring music and keeping them up all day and night.
And then the young Republicans who go to Democratic rallies and manhandle the singers, the rock singers. Republicans are really, really the equivalent of the Nazi brown shirts during the 30s in Germany. These people, you know, I would love to have one of those rare moments. I think Al Franken's had one now where one of these right-wing snots would do something that would encroach on my physical being, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I know exactly.
Because I would just love, I'd probably wind up being sued, but it'd be worth it just to pound the living Christ out of one of these people.
I mean,
just beat them within an inch of their lives. Wouldn't that be fun?
This.
Listen to me. I am sick. I've turned into a sick, violent, prone liberal, well armed, ready to get in a fight. What has happened?
Well,
I don't have Jesus in my heart anymore.
I was christened a Unitarian, so it's kind of iffy anyway. But
right.
I know where you're at, and I'm trying to quit smoking cigarettes.
Right.
17 days down the road, I'm like, oh,
yeah, right.
I got to put the patch on my tongue.
Yeah, that's a good place for it. Put the gum in your ears, the patch on your tongue. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But Mike, it gets better.
Yeah.
So I go to vote tonight.
Yeah.
Or this afternoon. Get out of work early, and it's starting to snow. I go to vote. Well, my normal polling place, they only have one thing on the ballot there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, so I'm voting for increasing taxes to support education.
What about the Democratic primary?
They've moved it to a different place. So I go down there, and it's a little grade school. I go down there. Of course, kids are all getting out. So I'm like, well, geez, I got stuff to do. I'll just come back.
Right.
I come back. Well, suddenly, I'm not on the rolls anymore. Now, I've been here for almost 14 years. It'll be 14 years in December or September. I voted every time there's been an election.
You were
local,
purged?
And I was purged. So I had to go through filing the paperwork. And I'm going, now, does this make me more likely, because I'm writing it by hand, that there's a paper trail?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little concerned with what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. What did they tell you? Did they say, okay, you're all set now for the general election in November?
Well, no, they didn't tell me that. They said that a woman from South Carolina came up and was supposed to have taken care of everything, but it's very foobar.
What the hell does that mean? A woman from South Carolina? You all are in New Mexico.
Exactly, and I'm just going, okay, in the meantime, Dean is not showing up on anything anywhere. Kerry is huge. I'm going, okay, AOL, Time Warner. It's all the same. It doesn't matter. It's Republican, Republican light. Democrat, Republican, Republican light.
You do know how to fire and handle a weapon, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Okay, good.
That's not an issue, but I'm just...
Well, it may become one. That's the reason I'm asking.
No, Mike.
I just want to ask.
I think what the only thing that really matters...
Yeah.
Is the Jackson family nipples and penises. I really think that's all that America really should be worrying about.
Just make sure that you have, that you're well-armed, you know how to handle your weapon, you know how to break it down, how to load it, how to make sure it's clean, it will fire well, and other people in your family, if there are other adults in your family, make sure they understand how to do that, too.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, and this is just a little sideline on that. My name is fairly unique.
Mm-hmm.
There's only three of us in this town.
Right.
And there were five, but my grandmother and grandfather died.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no others. Well, there was a person with a first name, Gerald, with my last name.
Yeah.
And it's like, Gerald, in our district? I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
There's probably about, I don't know, 150, 200 nationwide of us.
Yeah.
I really don't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very funny. I'm like, well, Gerald, could it be Jeff? Jeffrey? No, it's not you.
And your last name is Brittle Goose, isn't it?
Yeah, something like that. It's Dutch.
Right. Oh, my God.
And I'm just going, okay. When we're supposed to be liberal in Santa Fe.
Yeah, well, you did get to vote.
Well, I guess.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know why I asked the question that way.
Yeah.
As far as you know, you think perhaps, maybe, possibly you got to vote.
I put an X on in a box
yeah.
for the candidate that my second choice, because I just,
yeah.
you know, I think if nothing else, I love Dennis Kucinich.
Right.
It's like, I got to go Dean.
I understand. I understand. No, I've said early on, I understand. You know, you make your peace. You do what you have to do. I do maintain that if everybody who really thought the only Democrat in the race was Kucinich would vote for him, it'd be a lot different, some of these returns. But on the other hand, it's cool. I mean, I don't, you know.
Complete. I agree with everything Dennis
right.
has to say. I love the man. And, you know, I was like, well, maybe if Dean won, then he could be like vice president, or give him an important position.
Maybe
Secretary of Defense.
Maybe Wesley Clark and Dennis Kucinich, the warrior and the dove.
Wouldn't that like be like an oxymoron? Wouldn't they wipe each other out?
Probably so. Probably
yeah.
So.
Listen,
you had a strange day, Jeff.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. I haven't looked at what the poll results are, but I'm sure it's Kerry.
Yeah, I don't think have we seen anything yet, Kathy, on New Mexico? Go ahead, open your mic.
I believe every state, I think, don't quote me, but I believe every state except South Carolina has gone for Kerry now officially.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go, Jeff.
I didn't hear it.
Every state, with the exception of South Carolina, Kerry has won.
Ah.
That has reported so far, according to Kathy. You couldn't hear Kathy there when she opened?
No, I couldn't.
I
turned
okay.
the radio down, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it appears to be. Every state has gone for Kerry.
And isn't it interesting that there's a woman from South Carolina who rigged our polls here?
It is interesting. Jeff, thanks for checking in.
Thank you, Mike. And I sure hope that you're on another time slot, another station.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too.
Keep my fingers crossed.
Thank you, sir.
Take care.
All right, you too. So when you talk... Open your mic again, Kathy. When you talk now, people can hear you now, right?
People can hear me, but the person that you are speaking with live
cannot. Hear that. I
yes,
see.
That's
right.
The one exception to our little rule.
So what state is that? Do you have any idea? I'm looking here at CNN, but I'm not getting... Oh, that's South Carolina. Edwards won. Yeah, okay. But apparently everything else is going for Kerry. Neil is calling. He is the owner of and webmaster at CryingEagle.org. Hey, Neil.
Hey, how's it going?
Going fine, sir. How are you?
I can't complain. Yeah, I'm about 100 miles from you, and we both know how the South is, don't we?
Oh, man. Yes, we certainly do.
Don't we live in the most evil area?
Well, I'll say you do the same thing I said to the caller from New Mexico. You do own weapons, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
You do know how to use them, right?
And I do know how to use
okay, right.
Anybody from the South now, you know.
Yeah, I know.
We all know how to cock and load, let me tell you.
Yes, we do.
Main thing I was going to call you about was the choices we had. You
uh-huh.
know, I mean, right now, I mean, I'm a Kucinich purchase myself.
Right.
And, oh, God, would I ever love to see him win. I mean, you know, that would
mm-hmm.
just bring joy to my heart. But, you know, I mean, when you got to, you know, like that one lady said, you know, I personally, you know, Charles Manson, you know, would be a better candidate than Bush.
He would indeed.
I mean, let's be honest. Or that cannibal up there in that other country. I'd even vote for him.
Yeah, right. What, in Germany? Wasn't that a weird story?
That was something
else. Oh, my God. Advertised on the Internet for someone who wants to be eaten. And somebody shows up.
And does it.
And says, eat me. When I was in high school, I used to say to people, oh, eat me. I didn't really mean it. You know, this guy.
Well, we did, but not in those terms.
Hey, hold on a second, Neil. I got to do a break here real quick. Kathy's about to bring up the music. We'll do a break and we'll come back and finish up here. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
Congratulations, Antoinette. You stopped the counting time. Well, your boy's lead was getting mighty slim. And those black robes couldn't hide your Bush t-shirt there inside. You made the man with a fewer votes win. Congratulations, George. Well, it's all bought and paid for. The history books will have to write you in. Well, maybe you could pass a law so the rest of us can all see how the man with fewer votes win.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
We are going to do Rumsfeld now. You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All we need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Robert emailed in. Looks like Kerry did not win in Oklahoma. Yeah, we're looking at some of the returns here. It looks like a three-way tie, but apparently it's going to be either Clark or Edwards there. Back to Neil, cryingeagle.org. Where were we, Neil?
Shoot, I don't know.
Oh, well, what the hell? Let's start somewhere fresh then.
Did you know that they had a reward on for anybody knowing anything about Bush's guard service?
I know several years ago, smokinggun.com, which was a website that refused to let this issue die. I'm talking 3-4 years ago during the campaign when the media wouldn't touch the fact that he was a cowardly deserter. And I know they put some kind of a reward up. I don't know if that's what you're talking about.
No, it's a different one here. It's www.awolbush.com. B-U-S-H.com.
AWOLBush.com?
Yeah.
I like that one.
Yeah, it says a reward. Did you witness G.W. Bush performing any National Guard service between May 1972 and October 1973?
That would be in Alabama, and I doubt seriously if anybody is going to be able to claim that reward.
You said that right.
Yeah.
You know that joker didn't do nothing.
No, he did not. And not only that, but the reason was because he was a cokehead at the time. He couldn't take his flight physical that these guys are required to take every, I don't know if it's 6 months or a year or 3 months or whatever. Also, when he was in Texas Air National Guard, the couple of years he was in, he trained on, I'm forgetting the plane that he trained on, but it was one that was becoming obsolete that they weren't using in Vietnam, in Southeast Asia. So it was a given that the little coward would never go anywhere. Now, I'm against, I was totally dead set against what we did in Southeast Asia, but it pisses me off that the rich white boys could get into positions where somebody else would go in their place to go have arms and legs blown off or die. So I just hope that the media, as cowardly as they are, I hope the media will not let this story die. I hope this will continue to dog this little rat bastard all the way up to the election.
I guarantee if he'd have got in a plane and been flying, I guarantee he'd have shot one of our guys down.
Probably so.
I mean, he's that stupid.
Probably so. Hey, Neil, thanks a lot for checking in, pal.
Have a good one,
dude. All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Go to Neil's website, cryingeagle.org. Mike is calling from Mountain Park, Georgia. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. On that note, I called about something else, but on that note, in fact, I called Ike about this Sunday morning here in Atlanta.
So people know you're talking about Ike Newkirk, who has a program on WQXI. Ike Newkirk has been a radio talk show host here since God was a teenager.
He said 30 years on Sunday.
30? Good, yeah. Lord.
And been a liberal all that time. But anyway, I called him to confirm something I read on Buzzflash, and I'm an ex-naval officer, served the same time Kerry did. My definition of a deserter was somebody who was AWOL over 30 days. Now, Michael Moore called him a deserter, and in the Clintonian parsing of adding up 2 weekend days over 12 months plus what you're supposed to serve 2 weeks active duty in the summer,
right?
Even that's over 30 days.
Yeah, it is.
So he's technically a deserter.
I'm wondering about, I don't know, the legal, under the Code of Military Justice, the legal definition of deserter.
Is over 30 days. AWOL over 30 days.
But it doesn't have to be somebody who's in an active unit, because he was never in an active unit. He was in reserve unit.
No. I had friends who were in the reserves. Mm-hmm. Some of them from I was from Texas, and some of them parents were connected, and, mm-hmm. and I don't think they were in that unit. I don't think they were in the Champagne unit.
So if you're over 30 days,
AWOL,
that's considered deserter.
That's a deserter.
Mike, hold on, okay? I got to do a quick break here, and we'll come right back and finish up on the other side of the break. John in Riverside, California, we're coming to you. Kim, one of our over-the-road truckers, driving in Findlay, Ohio. Oh, my God. Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, and Marge in Maryville. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. You got to turn up the heat. You got to fight to Crawford and buy from those seats. Because W's got a mission. Yeah. W's got a plan. W's got a pistol. It's burning in his hand. Because he's turned the world into one big Texas. What?
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Prozac might be a great drug for some people, but it could be a real downer for some fish. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Prozac has helped a lot of people overcome problems with depression, but it might cause problems when it ends up in open waters and affects the lives of fish and other aquatic organisms. Brian Brooks is an aquatic toxicologist at Baylor University in Waco, Texas. He says the active ingredient in Prozac is called fluoxetine, and last summer he found traces of it in bluegills, catfish, and crappie in a creek near Denton, Texas. Brooks says the human body does not metabolize all the fluoxetine in Prozac. That means some of the compound is excreted in human waste, and it ends up in wastewater at sewage treatment plants. Those plants are not designed to remove fluoxetine. For that matter, they're not designed to deal with a lot of personal care products like medicine, fragrances, and deodorants. Brooks says traces of these compounds are ultimately discharged into open waters in wastewater that has otherwise been treated thoroughly.
There are a number of pharmaceutical and personal care products which are being introduced into aquatic environments over long periods of time at low levels. And we have limited understanding for most, if not all, of the compounds about their occurrence, the magnitude, frequency, duration at which they're introduced into aquatic ecosystems. And then we have very limited information on the potential responses of aquatic organisms to these drugs and personal care products.
Brooks says the environmental impact of these compounds is getting more attention in the scientific community. He says they could change the reproductive behaviors of fish and disrupt their ability to find food or flee from predators. Over the long run, that could have serious consequences in some places for the ability of fish to survive. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
Well, the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Perhaps the most important lesson that I learned in Vietnam is that you cannot fight a guerrilla war with conventional forces.
Well, every time I hear him say that, it just sets my teeth on edge. Galcole says his plane was an F-102 trainer not used in Vietnam. That was the designation I was trying to think of, F-102. Back to Mike in Mountain Park.
Well, what I originally called about, Mike, was that the election is a long way away.
Uh-huh.
The inauguration of a Democrat in January of 2005 is a long way away.
Mm-hmm.
One possible quick solution here is for your listeners and everybody in this country to bombard Lincoln Chafee and Olympia Snow's office with requests that they pull a Jim Jeffords,
mm-hmm.
go independent, caucus with the Democrats, and get the Democrats in control of the Senate again,
mm-hmm.
and have spineless Tom Daschle pull out some investigations on this stuff and get it out front where they can. Well, we are powerless now,
right.
with all the powers that be,
mm-hmm.
to be in control, but if we had one little branch there, the lowly Senate, to use as a sounding board,
mm-hmm.
And all the committees started investigating about the environment and the war and Bush's military, and you know, it's one way to get this stuff out there.
I wish that could happen. I wish that could happen.
But I mean, that would be immediate.
Yeah, yeah, it
and
would indeed.
Jim Jeffords is a hero to me. For what he did,
yeah.
And it could be done again. Mike, it's been a pleasure and an honor to be your Mountain Park Bureau Chief, and I hope to see you someday at the Java Monkey.
Listen, I'd stop in there 3 or 4 times a week.
I will look for you there.
I usually dash in and dash out because I usually go up there about 8:30, and we go on the air at 9. And I'm in there furiously getting all jacked up on their super caffeinated coffees and heading back to the studio. Hey, thanks, Mike. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Take care. Our best to you in the future.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it very much. Diana in Florida sent me an email regarding the caller from New Mexico that had one hell of a day trying to get trying to vote. Diana writes, Mike, I haven't brought this up before because the situation hasn't played out, but given your present caller, she's referring to the caller from New Mexico, it seems relevant. I'm having trouble getting my voter registration card. I've been registered, quote, no party, close quote. Back in November, I mailed in a form printed off the web to change my party to Democrat. I still haven't got my new voter registration card. I've been down to the county building twice, and each time they told me the card was in the mail. But it still hasn't come. They acknowledged that they got the form and that the computer shows I'm now a registered Democrat. That's the good news. The bad news is that the change makes my old voter registration card invalid. So without my new voter registration card, I not only won't be able to vote in the Democratic primary, I won't be able to vote in the general election either. If the card doesn't arrive in the mail by the end of the week, I go down to the county building with my lawyer in tow. With her as my lawyer, I have already won one lawsuit against the state of Florida, and just as they picked the wrong person to crush before, they are picking the wrong person now. I will not be deprived of my right to vote. And then there's about 9 exclamation points after the word vote. Yeah, the Republicans, you know, Karl Rove and the Nazis understand the level of rage and anger in this country and the fact that Bush is going to be a one-term president. And they are going to do anything and everything they can to prevent the will of the people once again from being realized. Holding up voter registration cards and the old catch-22.
Well, it says here you're a Democrat, but your card says you're no particular party. Well, gosh, I don't know what we're going to do, lady, but I can't give you one here. Oh, and you, sir, over here in New Mexico. Well, now, I know you tried to change your party, but, you know, the woman from South Carolina came up and everything was taken care of. Hell, I don't know. Well, check back with me tomorrow. Oh, I know there won't be any voting tomorrow, but that's just the way it goes.
That kind of stuff. Kim is calling one of our over-the-road truckers. You're driving near Findlay, Ohio?
Yes, sir.
Hey, that you know, that little town is where both sides of my family are from. My mother was born there. My father was born there. That's where my Italian immigrant grandfather wound up when he came to this country. Findlay, Ohio, huh?
Well, I'll tell you something. It's changed a little bit since
a few years ago.
That's true. Well, I spent a lot of time there. My uncle, my dad's brother, was the deputy sheriff of Hancock County, which Findlay's the county seat.
But
yeah, my uncle was the deputy sheriff there for about 40 years, though. So yeah, I'm real familiar with Findlay. Well, homeboy Colin. What's up, Kim?
Well, I'll tell you what. Levine.
Right.
He was a substitute for Mariana Williamson.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, he really talked politics. NFF lieutenant retired Air Force.
Uh-huh.
And this fellow's written a book, and I can't remember the title of the book.
Right.
And he under the Freedom of Information Act, he got over 300 documents on Bush's military activity or non-activity.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and according to him, he said, now, the only thing I was not able to get was his military, was his health records.
Mm-hmm.
And his discipline actions, any discipline actions.
Well, my understanding is his health records have been burned because he was a coke addict, and
he doesn't want them even to be available.
Right. He didn't want it shown that he didn't show up. That's the reason he went AWOL, is because he was required to take a flight physical, and he wouldn't take it because one of the things they do is check you for drugs.
Well, see, the interesting thing is he wanted his own private physician.
Right.
To certify his airworthiness. Well, you can't do that.
Right, exactly.
You know, and they went down the chronology, and this one fellow said, he said, but I do have, there were documents that were available that showed he received some form of disciplinary action.
Uh-huh.
Because he requested to be transferred to Alabama.
Right.
They turned him down. Well, he went over anyway. Well, then they finally, probably because of pressure, they okayed him for 3 months only,
mm-hmm.
and he stayed.
Well, isn't it?
And there's no record anywhere.
Yeah.
Of him ever attending any meetings, flying an aircraft, or signing out on an aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that he actually, and this one fellow called up, and he said he screwed up too, but he said he wasn't in Bush. Because he did not attend, three meetings.
Right.
And he got his butt chewed out, and the man told him, he said, look, I'm going to refer, he said, you are going to be activated.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so I went down, and he said, hell, I'm not waiting for him to do it. I activated, he volunteered. But this fellow swore up and down that Bush was actually supposed to be activated for active, you know, brought up for reserves.
Right.
And somehow it never happened. And that there were charges brought up on them. Now these records were available.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when your name is Bush and your pappy at the time, I think Pappy Bush was a member of Congress, and you're a rich family and you're well connected, and you're skull and bones, and you're the organization has plans for you. You can get all kinds of things done, Kim, if you know what I mean.
Right. Well, he jumped over 500 men.
Yeah.
That were waiting to get into that champagne unit.
Right, right.
And, of course, on the form they have, well, were there any special skills
uh-huh.
that you have to justify you being brought in?
Right.
And, of course, as a history major, he had none.
Well, also, I'm sure you know that on his exam for pilot school, he placed in the 25th percentile.
That's right.
And
which was definitely at the bottom. And, you know, in other words, if you pick him by random, you get about 25%.
Yeah. He had no business going where he went. And, I just hope, like I said earlier, I hope the media stays on this story, Kim, and gets the truth out. Hey, listen, man, thanks for checking in. Thanks for calling from Findlay.
You got it.
All right, sir. Take care. I appreciate it, Kim. You have a nice evening. Drive safe, by the way. John is calling from Riverside, California. Hey, John.
Well, hello. How are you tonight?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm hanging in there.
Good.
Wanted to talk about the ricin scare in Washington.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on that today, did we? Or tonight?
No, you didn't.
Didn't
I'm a little disappointed
that.
Because,
yeah.
You know, I find it real, real ironic. Here, Bush drops in the polls. And now there's a male terror scare in Washington again.
A terrorist attack! Oh my!
And it happens.
Oh my God!
And it happens to be in the office of what's his name?
Frist.
Frist. And, of course, it was one of Frist's staffers who has taken a paid leave of absence because he is a suspect in the theft of the Democratic members of the Judiciary Committee.
You read Bart Cop tonight, I take it.
Well, no, this was – I haven't – I usually get to Bart Cop about 2 in the morning, but this was – the other night we talked about this. Isn't it amazing that this guy all of a sudden some kind of toxic substance is found in his office, which means there will be no more – digging around to find evidence about what his staffer did. Interesting. I hear what you're saying, and it makes you, it just pisses me off thoroughly, but what are you going to do about it, John?
You know, it's like when Bush is soundly defeated in November. My biggest fear is that there's going to be another terrorist attack that he's probably going to orchestrate himself, and all of a sudden there's no inauguration because of martial law.
Yeah, wouldn't that be that's the ultimate terrible scenario. That's why I keep asking a lot of folks to call in. Do you have a weapon? Do you know how to use it?
Yes. and I deplore the existence of them.
Oh, so do I. Absolutely. I hate being a liberal with a gun. Several of them. But that's just where I am. I would much rather live in a society where guns were not necessary. But I'll tell you what. I've had guns all my life. I've been around them all my life, and I'm talking about sporting weapons. But I have more than that now, and it's I just think it's necessary in the age of Bush, when he's defeated. The guns I have that I don't need, I will either break them down or sell them. I remember when I took and Kathy will verify this, when we moved to Chicago. Remember this story, Kathy? We moved to Chicago, and I was talking about how on the air in Chicago, I'm a liberal with a gun, blah, 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 blah. And somebody called in and said, you know, it's illegal in the city of Chicago. And it was. You could not own a weapon, handgun, in Chicago. And I got a call the next day from a real friendly cop on the air. He called in on the air and he said, what you need to do is go home and break it down, take it apart, and put it in a box someplace. And when you go back south, you can... you know, if that day comes, then you can reassemble it. And I did. I had to. But that's not true here in the South. In the South, we'd just as soon shoot you as say hi to you.
I was going to say, shoot first, ask questions later.
Right. You know, yeah. we're all crazy.
It's like Taisha Miller in the Riverside Police Department.
Well, we're crazy down here in the South. We all is crazy.
Exactly.
Well, we never got to the Ricin scare, but I think you're right. I have a suspicion. I don't believe anything anybody says in the Bush crime family, and when something like this comes up, I figure it's something that they are doing to disguise or hide something or divert our attention.
You know, it's like with the media. If Wolf Blitzer says it's sunny outside, I'm going to look out the window.
Immediately, because it's probably pouring rain.
Exactly.
John,
or it's midnight.
Yeah, that's or that. John, thanks for checking in, pal.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. Roy is calling from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Hey, Roy.
Hello, Mike. I was listening to, I think his name was Jeff, calling in from Santa Fe about the problems that he was having up there.
Right.
We had minor problems down here in Sandoval County, and it was kind of a good news, bad news type situation.
Uh-huh.
Bad news was the lines were so damn long. Good news was that lines were long.
Yeah, that there you go.
It was a first get-go. I re-registered in December to register Democrat, and mine did not. I did not show up on the poll on the list. But with the card, I just filled out a provisional ballot.
Well, that's the same thing happened to Jeff.
Right.
And I guess you heard. I guess you heard me read the email from Diane in Florida. She has the other problem. She's got a card. But they haven't changed her register. Is that right? They've changed her registration, but she doesn't have a card. She's got her old card.
Right. Now, hers is a little different in that that's the state doing it to her.
Right.
This is just fouled up Democratic Party operatives.
Oh, God.
Because it was, I mean, you couldn't get through to their phones. I got my postcard that they weren't going to send me my absentee ballot on the day that the absentee ballots had postmarked. My wife's absentee ballot showed up 2 days after. They were, I forget the numbers, but they got requests for absentee ballots about 200% what they expected to get.
Wow.
So, you know, and it was frustrating.
Right.
One of the things was the radio stations were talking about the caucuses and that polling places would be different.
Mm-hmm.
The newspapers were running stories on how it was different.
Mm-hmm.
The instead of 7 to 7 poll openings, we were noon to 7. It was like about 30% of the precincts. We had to go down to the courthouse here. We usually go to the schoolhouse.
Well, you know, that isn't that...
So it was miscommunications.
Isn't it a shame that we Democrats don't have a little bit of Nazism in us like the Republicans do? You'd never hear something like this happen with the Republicans.
No, they'd have it wired. And if they were expecting, I don't know, pick a number. If they were expecting a turnout of 50,000, well, they'd make sure they had 75,000.
You're damn right.
And they'd be prepared for 100,000 and make sure that 75,000 got marked up.
I hear you.
But it was pretty poor administration.
Well, I hope it works out before November 2nd. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think on the state level, that is a minor concern. Quite frankly, it is a very minor concern.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
this was strictly the Democratic Party, and I just, like I said, it was a good news, bad news. With blue numbers away as far as what happened in primary.
Well, I think it's a good indication that people are going to throw this bum out. Roy, we got a boogie. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Quick break here, folks. We'll be right back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise two-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio two-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to ieamericaradio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
Truth, Justice, and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour. Hey, we're just about out of time. Kelly is calling from Huntsville, Alabama. Kelly, got about a minute and a half here, pal.
Hey, Mike, I'm from Alabama. I'm one of those liberals with a gun.